What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everybody. This is Kevin Scarrett. I'm with Amy Zander for another episode. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kevin. How are you?
Great, great, great. So I had this idea for this podcast, and I can't believe we've never really talked about it before, but there's a question that is asked by business people. It's a big idea in the world of branding. It's a pretty obvious question that it's asked by all business owners at some point in time, but my bet is most of those folks don't see it as a branding issue. And that big question, the big idea is...
Dun-da-da!
Dun-ba-dum, drum roll, please. How do I get customers to buy from me instead of my competitors? So obviously, it is a big question. Every business owner asks that. But so I'm going to guess, as I ask this question, your head is just swirling with things that you want to say and points that you want to make. Yeah. Is that true?
Yes.
And I'm also willing to bet that if you and I were to jot down our ideas of why this is a branding issue and why all business owners should have a strategy for answering this question, that our lists would probably be almost identical. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And if we were to pick a random business owner, and I kind of picture this interaction, they'd likely be able to talk to us about the things that they've done in the past to answer this question, like, how do I get people to buy from me, right? Mm-hmm. They put some thought into
right.
it. But more likely, when they first hear that question, they'll get that scrunchy look on their forehead.
Right.
their head cocks to the side like a dog, right? and they would realize, yeah, that's a really hard question to answer. And, yeah, maybe I should have a better idea of what to do about this question. What are your thoughts about asking that question?
Well, I definitely think you're right that most biz owners don't put enough thought into this, and they have some misplaced ideas about how important it is. But I also want to add too that, like, so I've been working with some like brand new business owners lately through the Michigan SBDC, and they're not even thinking about their competition. They're just thinking about getting their product or service to the market in general. And they're even like not even thinking about that whole competitor part of it.
Build it,
just getting
it out. And they will come.
What'd you say?
Yeah. Build it and they will.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that part too, is that that's not even on some new business owner radars. Not all, but some. But I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of owners have the opinion that all they need to do is outline the benefits of their products or services. Like, hey, this is what I make. This is how cool it is. This is, and that customers will choose them once they have that important information and that they know about them, right? They just think it's all about just, if people knew I was out there, they'd buy from me. And that is not
right.
everything they need to do, right? So
right, and this is where you cue up your sad trombone sound.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, and the question, just goes way deeper than the benefits of their product.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. In fact, what you just said is kind of the motivation of the title on this episode, because if people didn't catch the title, I just can't help myself.
Right.
Most business, they present themselves that way either because they just can't help themselves. It feels like the right thing to do. If I list the benefits, the people will buy from me, right? It kind of makes sense. Or they've never been presented with any other way of doing
right.
it. So they just don't know any better. And they just kind of go with their gut. Yeah, I'll just do what everybody else kind of does.
Right.
So if in the idea of how people do this and why they do this, tragically, it's left over from a really, really archaic almost ancient in these days, times and days, 1950s television advertising. If you wind back all the way back then, the glory days, basking
the in Mad Men.
that's exactly right. There was super limited competition. Your ad dollars, you could get the attention of literally 100% of your target audience.
Right.
You know, I mean, think about, a commercial for Cocoa Puffs. How many kids saw that commercial when they were watching Saturday morning cartoons in the United States?
Right.
You know, like literally every single one of them. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but that hasn't been the case in decades, no. Right? So the explosion of cable television, you know, back in when did it begin? 90s, early 2000s. You know, we got 1,500 channels instead of 4. You know, when we were kids. That eliminated the possibility of reaching those huge percentages of your audience with a single ad campaign. The advent of the internet age, you know, that completely destroyed a lot of things that, you know, we thought of traditionally as business, right? It leveled the playing field for all companies, big and small, you know, so the little guys could compete with the big guys. And it essentially the internet caused an explosion of competition. Where before you only had 2 or 3 other competitors on your ads that you're putting on your TV, now you have to deal with everybody on the internet. So it back then it was a function of the size of your ad budget, and now it's not. I mean, it's a completely different game. So you can't answer the question the same. So, what else is floating around in your noggin right now?
Floating in my noggin. Well, I'm thinking about the giant garbage truck outside that's really loud, so sorry. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it'd be beneficial to list the things that a business owner might want to keep in mind as they're trying to tackle the question, so they're not just thinking about,
good idea.
Yeah. So, I'll start, and then you can kind of add what you think. So, of course, I think the biggest thing that we're going to always say is that you have to move the needle on the customer's emotions. It's all about the emotional connection. And I would say that that is the biggest thing that most people miss in their branding and their marketing is that because I'm always like, well, how do you want your audience to feel when they work with you? And they're like, huh? So,
For a person who's never thought about the necessity and the importance of an emotional connection, that's a bizarre question.
Right.
Why in the heck are you asking me that?
Right. Right.
And yet, it's the most important question.
It is.
So if you're listening to this right now and you disagree with what we just said, you need to go back to our earliest podcast episodes where we talk about the fundamentals of branding. And we take a fairly deep dive into why emotions are so, so, so very important to the building of a great brand. If you don't get the importance of emotions, please do that. But the thing I would throw in next is consistency. You have to have super tight consistency. Everything you do, one day has to be the same as the next day.
Right. You know? And so by consistency, we mean not just putting out content regularly, however you were doing it, social media, radio, whatever, but that the messaging and the emotions are also consistent with what you're putting out.
And the visuals.
Tone. Yeah.
And the everything.
Everything. Words, so, everything.
Yeah, we didn't qualify it because we meant everything.
Right, right, sure.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to say it. Let's not forget using the right words to guide those emotional connections. Right. Those word banks and your own word categories and stuff that you come up with that are related to your own business are really important that you use those same words all the time.
So along with that, you know, if you're going to pick the right words, which we always suggest you do, I would suggest also tapping into specific brand triggers. Now, brand triggers is the phrase that we use. It's the kind of the idea within your brand that will elicit a buying response from your target audience. So let's say you're a jester brand, you know, an obvious one, using humor to trigger a response inside your target audience that they kind of feel like they belong to this tight group of in-the-know people, you know, like an inside joke kind of feel, right? So having a feeling like you're part of a group is a definite emotional trigger that you can use very effectively to get people to buy from you instead of others.
Right.
And so we call them brand triggers, but really the idea for me, it came from reading a book, almost 20 years ago now, I think. Author's name is Barry Feig. The book is called Hot Button Marketing, and he does a great job of breaking down all of these triggers of what gets people to buy. So that's definitely a book worth reading.
Right. So just throw this out there. So one of my brand triggers for ZD Media is the overwhelm that that small business or medium-sized businesses feel when they try to tackle their own social media marketing. And that they know they need to do it, they know it's important, but they just never have the time or they don't know how to do it. And so that overwhelm feeling is a huge trigger for me.
It's a really good reading. If the idea of thinking about brand triggers or hot buttons, you know, use either phrase you want, what it will do is it will focus you on kind of this task of, I need to get people to feel this way. And by doing that, it's going to force you to wrap yourself around emotional connections. You don't have a choice. You can't get these triggers unless you tap into an emotion. And if you do this within the context of an archetype, the archetype is what's going to give you the laser focus. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people who read Hot Button Marketing as a book or hear about this idea of getting hot buttons, they go, oh, I could try, you know, job security or... you know, family connections, or I mean, there's tons of triggers, right?
Right.
And if you try to do them all, you're going to be all over the place. So the best approach is, read the triggers and figure out which ones kind of resonate with you, but use your archetype to create your laser focus.
Yeah. So, to guide you, the archetype will guide you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. In order to also effectively pick a brand trigger, you need to have a fairly deep understanding of your particular audience, not just people in general, but the people who are going to buy your product. So in past episodes, we have talked about the value of defining personas. And, so you can go back and listen to that. Or if you have any questions, contact us about how to define personas. But basically, it's like making up people that represent the majority of the people that would buy your products.
And you're not just randomly making personas. You're making them up based on your experience with who your audience is and how they think and what they feel and what's in their brain and what motivates them and what are their pains. That's what a persona is, based on deep understanding. But, so it's not just random stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so I talked about words, so I'm sure you're going to throw in something about visuals.
Oh, you betcha. So really, picture speaks a thousand words or whatever that phrase is. What better way is there to build or amplify an emotion in another person's head as quickly as possible and show them a very powerfully emotive image, right? Or a video, right? Yep. So you really show that awesome Sarah McLachlan video, the sad doggies, and you're gonna get an emotion, right?
Yes.
We've already established that, right?
Yes.
So what else would you add?
I'd say another part of this big idea is to never let up, which kind of goes back to the whole consistency thing. So if your brand strategy doesn't lead you to be tending to your brand 100% of the time, then you're way more likely to make brand mistakes. So
hold on, not 99%?
Nope, 100%.
100%.
Most businesses find themselves on marketing, branding, autopilot, like way too often. So if you are finding yourself on autopilot or something like that, just, find some way to get, some of your creative juices flowing, or maybe outsource some of your things or bring some team members on or have a brainstorming session. Like my team, we meet once a month to talk about the branding of ZD Media for fresh ideas and things like that. So at least once a month we talk about that. I mean, I feel like we talk about it every day, but we...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but...
well, it is what we do.
Yeah.
I loved your phrase, autopilot. It just kind of evokes that it's kind of this brain dead, I can, have coffee in my dinner now.
Right.
While the plane flies itself.
Right.
But the... The reality in business is the business owner has so many hats that of course they're going to get their attention, veered away often. And if you think to yourself, well, I need to put the marketing out on autopilot for a couple of weeks or a month because I'm really focused on this really super important thing, well, you really need to rethink that, because your brand and your marketing are just as important as any other business operation or process that you have. Okay, so I'm now going to guess that everyone who's listening, business owners, they're nodding their heads at everything that we just said. It all makes sense to some degree. But when you list everything like we just did, it kind of feels really big and complex, and almost too big and too complex. And wouldn't it be cool if there was some, I don't know, Amy, some type of magical process that covered all of your bases and guided you like a laser focus to the most important ideas and helped you make great decisions on every single one of these points that we just made? Wouldn't it be awesome if there was a magical process?
Yes, Swami Kevin, please enlighten us.
Yeah. Okay. So the magical process is, if you don't know the answer to this, you must be a new listener, and that's a no judgment zone thing. But the answer is archetypes. Surprise! Right. So if you pick at
archetype,
I know. So if you pick an archetype, you get the benefit of all of the stuff that we just talked about. That all of those problems become way less of a problem, and it forces you to focus on the right things. So let's do a little comparison to kind of by example what we mean of how an archetype is going to change the approach. The old approach of the person putting things on autopilot and talking about benefits versus what we think you should do. Okay, so why don't you start us out with, give us the first scenario.
Okay, I'll set the scene. All right, company A has a homepage that lists all the benefits of their products, you know, typical. Mm-hmm. And then company B has a homepage with a similar list, selling similar products. Most of the benefits are the same. Some are unique, but there's nothing really different between the two of them. The prices are pretty on point. And if a group of hot prospects does a little research online and each of them finds both sites, the sales will probably go about 50% each. You know, there's nothing mm-hmm. really distinguishing them from each other. Because of the changes in the market we talked about earlier, neither of the businesses can really differentiate themselves solely by just listing the benefits. So
that is okay. So yeah.
Two
true.
Companies yes. just listing benefits. Yep. All right.
Yep. And so, you know, you might argue, oh, I may get 55%. I've got, you know, a 10%. They only have 45, so I'll get 10% more of the market share.
So what?
Well, if you're happy with that, right. Well, good for you.
Right.
That's not the scenario that we want to talk about. So let me do scenario two.
Okay.
Company A continues to do their thing. They itemize their benefits on the homepage, but company B, of course, they still list their benefits too, but it's further down the page. It's part of the process of getting the information to the customer, but it's not the most important part
the
of
hook.
The presentation.
Yeah.
That is exactly right,
yeah.
The hook.
Yeah.
Okay, so further up the page, above the fold and front and center, is somehow a rich story that is told. It's using all the right words, all the powerful visuals. It taps directly into those triggers, the emotional needs that the target audience person has, right?
Okay.
So let's use our usual example where we have a company that's selling lawnmowers.
Right? I was going to say that. Yeah. I knew you were going to say lawnmowers. Yeah.
So company A is talking about horsepower and the deck width and the quality of the construction and the battery life and the ease of the maintenance, you know, lawnmower stuff. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. So
you're
exciting.
Gonna get, yeah. And if that's the only thing that you were concerned about, that's good. But you're going to get it from both sites. You are going to read it. The second company, though, company B, takes a slightly different approach. So in here, we have to kind of know what archetype that they picked as well. We can't just talk about this out of the context of archetypes because it's important what one you pick. So let's say they've picked the neighbor archetype, and that includes the emotional connection of belonging, right? Mm-hmm. I want to feel like I belong to a group.
Right, a neighborhood.
A neighborhood,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So their presentation is going to immersively describe how they're going to be the envy of the neighborhood. There's that belonging.
Right.
And how much extra time they're going to have to spend with their family. Quality time is a trigger, right?
Yeah.
And less worrying about the quality of worrying about the thing breaking down.
Right.
Peace of mind. These are all really powerful brand triggers. Peace of mind, quality time, belonging. These are triggers that all fit within the archetype of the neighbor. And now, think about this. One guy's talking about horsepower, and you're talking about being the envy of the neighborhood and how you're going to be able to spend more time with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is going to evoke the emotional response?
Exactly, especially if the two products are similar in cost and all those kinds of things. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Now you have a story.
And because that's I'm going to go. Because you're telling it in a story with all these powerful visuals, you're not showing pictures of the 48-inch mowing deck. You're showing pictures of, a family out in their backyard, tossing around a football on their nicely manicured new lawn.
Right.
Right? One's going to evoke the emotions of, I want that. Where the other is like, yeah, I need that. It's, that's all right. That's good.
Yeah, and they're going to buy it, but they're not going to necessarily feel excited or, great about it.
Right.
They're like, I got to buy a lawnmower.
Right. No, if you were to pick a different archetype, our triggers would be different, our focus would be different, our story would be different, but the end result would still be an immersive storytelling, emotional presentation.
Right.
Deeply emotional presentation. Right?
Right. And I like how earlier you described the website, like when somebody first lands on it, it's like, bang, it's that whole setting the scene kind of thing with the words and the pictures, and then the benefits or the techie stuff about the product is like, down lower. It's still there. It's just not front and center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. We said homepage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, your homepage is going to have the big presentation, but you could have a separate landing page, one just that is talking about the maintenance of the product, and that's where you can tap into the story of the peace of mind.
Right.
And another landing page talking about being the envy of the neighborhood. I mean, you could really create an entire page just on that topic.
Right.
And it not only would it be relevant, it would be tapping into keywords that people will actually type into Google. There's a lot that can happen.
What lawnmower is going to make my neighbors the most jealous?
Somebody
has typed that into Google. I'm sure of it.
Absolutely. So, I don't know. This is a quick presentation of the idea of answering that question: how do I get people to buy from me? And the obvious answer to us is, do your marketing, do your brand with archetypes, because it just brings so much to you. But I hope you kind of get the storytelling and the emotional ideas, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
All right. So I'll give a wrap up here. So if you want to be the envy of your neighborhood, whether you're on a lawnmower or you just want to have the best business and website out there, give us a call. Go to brandarchetypes.com. And you can start by taking the questionnaire, which is in the upper left-hand corner. It's free. You get your results right away. See which kind of archetypes you're leaning towards. And it will start you on the path of using archetypes in your branding. And you can catch up on more of our podcasts. And, of course, feel free to contact us on for any questions that you have, and follow us on all the social media.
Yay. Thanks, Amy.
All right. Yes, I got to go mow my lawn, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. You do that in a very outlawish kind
of way. I will. Woohoo.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.